Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. We're going to read together verse 31 and 32 from Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to hear it preached. Thank you for those freedoms which we spoke about that was paid by men in this and women in this room this morning that served our nation so we could have these freedoms. Thank you so much, Lord. God, help us not to waste this time. Help us to pay attention and hear what you have for us this morning from the Word of God. Anoint our pastor for this task. And Father, if there's somebody listening in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, are on the internet this morning, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'll ask that you sit real still and listen very carefully, please. Last week, we preached on why are we eternally secure in our salvation. I don't know if this is going to become a why series or not, but I have another subject to cover, and I want us to take a few weeks and just get some basic doctrinal issues resolved about what we believe, and more importantly, why. Why does God ask certain things of us, or why has he given us certain things, the why of it? And today I want to talk to you about the why of forgiving others. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time developing the message, if you'll forgive me. We have a series of CDs here that I preached on, I think a couple of years ago now, on Sunday morning, four messages on forgiving others. And spent a great deal of time explaining the principles of forgiveness, forgiving others. Let me just say this to you real carefully. Now, pay close attention right at the start. Then you can daydream later in the message. But at the start, stay with me. Forgiveness means to let it go. It means to put it away from you. Now, forgiveness is an act and a process. The act of forgiveness is this. You decide, I'm going to let this thing go. See, most people, they don't make that decision. They hold on to it. They continue to hold on to whatever it is that was done to them or not done to them, and they hold on to it. And because they don't want to let it go, it becomes their badge of glory and honor. They like to talk about it. They like to tell people, this is what was done to me. This is what happened to me. And they're not willing to let it go. So it's an act, forgiveness, putting it away from you. And it is also a process. Haven't you ever said, you know, I want to forgive them. Then something happens and it comes back again. I could tell you this morning, all you have to do is say, I forgive them, and it's gone. But it's not. Forgiveness is a process. As you allow the grace of God to help you put it away from you, you will. The how of forgiveness is this, verse 32, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen. Too many people try to forgive based on whether or not they can see what this person's done to them, and they try to justify it or they try to make it right. Listen to me carefully. Here's how you forgive someone else. You forgive them based on how much you have been forgiven and who forgave you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's how it works. Remember the parable Jesus taught in Matthew 18 about the man who owed a huge debt. His debt in today's money is over $250 million. And the man he owed it to brought him in and said, I want my money, and I want it all, and I want it right now. And this man who owed the debt said, sir, I cannot pay the debt. And the man said, I'm going to throw you in debtor's prison. Now, in those days, when you went to prison, debtor's prison, You stayed there till the debt was paid. And if you didn't pay it in your lifetime, then your kids went to prison. They stayed in prison till the debt was paid. At $250 million, this man had just bankrupted every generation for many generations. And he said, sir, if you'll just give me some time, I'll figure out how to pay this. Look at me. And the man he owed the debt to said, I forgive you. Take it off the books. I mean, just like that. Wiped out a $250 million debt. This man who owed the $250 million debt, who was just forgiven a $250 million debt, steps outside and meets a friend of his who owes him what amounts to $1. And he, the $250 million forgiven man, goes up to his $1 friend and says, you owe me a dollar. Pay it, or I'm going to throw you in debtor's prison. And the man who owes the dollar said, sir, and if you read it in Matthew 18, he makes the same speech the $250 million man made just minutes ago. He said, sir, if you give me time, I'll pay it. And you know what this guy who was forgiven $250 million worth, you know what he did? He said, hey, don't worry about it, pal, it's okay. Nope. Grabbed him by the neck and said, you're going to pay me what you owe me, and I'm going to put you in debt. It's a parable about forgiveness. You know what the parable is? Look at me. You know what the parable is? Huh? It's you. You owe $250 million worth of debt to God. Not in cash, my friend. A debt you could never repay. You know what that debt is, don't you? The debt of your sin. You know who the one is who holds the account? That's God the Father. And when you, for Jesus' sake, ask for forgiveness of your sin and salvation, God the Father wipes out the debt of hell that you owe for your sin. You know who the $1 man is? That's anybody who does anything to you. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, that ain't a dollar to me. That's because you don't value it correctly. See, you value what they've done to you based on what they've done to you. Not what you did to God. Not what I did to God. You see, it's a buck's worth. There it is. It's a buck's worth. If you see it correctly, whatever anybody has ever done to me, and I know what that means this morning. People do unholy things to folks today. Look at this man goes into church in Texas and kills 26. He shot children who were looking at him while they screamed and cried. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you think about the unholy things that people do to folks today. People who take innocence away from young people, children, unholy things. You say, Pastor, that's not a dollar's worth. It is if you value it correctly. Now, it doesn't make it right and it doesn't make it good. All I'm telling you is this, how you and I should see what someone has done to us, we got to get it valued the right way. We got to see it the way it's supposed to be. God forgave me of eternity burning in hell for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ. And frankly, friend, anything you do to me, as far as I'm concerned, I value it as a dollar's worth. Then you can forgive. But see, here's what you do. Too many people do. No, that's not the way I see it. Yeah, that's why you're all twisted up this morning. See, we think forgiveness, forgiving others, is like rubbing salt in our wound. They hurt us, they stomp on us, and now we have to forgive them. Hey, by the way, if you notice something in verse 31 and 32, nothing is said about what the person who did the wrong should be doing. See, we want one of those Oprah sessions where everybody gets together and we all cry all over each other and they say they're sorry and it makes it right. Doesn't make it go away. It's still there. Hey, look at me. You got to let it go. Look at me. You got to let it go. Look at me. You got to let it go. Look at me. You've got to let it go. And you can't until you value it correctly. What they have done to you is a dollar's worth. Then you can let it go. I mean, let's face it, folks. None of us are wealthy. But I think I could forgive a buck. I think I could. I really could. And if I value what they've done to me right, I can let this thing go. See, that's why the act and process of forgiveness is a twofold thing. If I value it right, it's a dollar. Okay, all right. I don't value what they've done to me based on what they've done. I value what they've done to me based on the fact that God forgave me of something much greater than this. much, hey, much greater than this. And our Heavenly Father was willing to wipe the slate clean for Jesus' sake. By the way, that's what salvation is. Salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, God will forgive you for Jesus' sake. He won't forgive you for your sake. But why does He want us to forgive others? Quickly this morning. Number one, because it frees us. Now look in your Bible at verse 31. You notice what He said here? Look at it. Let. See the first word of verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. If you're one of those heathens who write in your Bible, right? Arguing there. Argumentativeness. See, I don't argue with people. You're arguing with you or not arguing. Clamor. Evil speaking. That's not only profanity, it's gossiping. Saying awful things about people. Look at that list of stuff. Is this one bitter, twisted up soul? Huh? Then the next verse is, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgive. See, forgiveness sets you free. You know, it says to let it go, but it doesn't tell you how to do that because the how-to is verse 32. If you have forgiven like you should, you know what? You can let the bitterness go. Sitting in the airport this week, I watch people. I'm a people watcher. I watch people. First of all, some of them need to realize Halloween's one day out of the year. That's number one. Number two, so you're being judgmental. Don't tell me you don't look at somebody who's spiked up and looks like something creepy from a horror movie and don't think there's something wrong with them. So get off of it. The truth of the matter is, I watch people's faces. And it's always interesting to me. I watch to see what kind of expression they have on their face. Some people look like they're ready to bite the lips off a pit bull. I mean, they look ticked off just walking through an airport. I mean, being in an airport is aggravating enough as it is, but the truth of the matter is, I watch their faces and I think to myself, whoa. I was preaching to teenagers. Part of the meeting there I was preaching in Chicago area was to some teenagers in a Christian school, about 150 kids or so, something like that, I think it was, 120 kids. And I was watching some of these teenagers. I went over this one kid in a Christian school, put my hand, how's it going, kiddo? She just looked at my hand and looked at me. And looked at my hand. I said, how you doing? She just looked at me and she looked at my hand. I said, shake my hand before I slap you in the pumpkin head. I know that's not the correct way to approach a teenager, but it worked. She shook my hand. And he said, well, the kid has got a problem. I know that. I know that. But believe me, they're not the only ones I see. Bitterness is a byproduct of unforgiveness. 99.9% of the time, there it is. Why? Because somebody won't let it go, and because they won't let it go, it turns to bitterness. Why are people so angry and hostile nowadays? Say, you never get upset, Pastor Johnson? Shut up. The truth of the matter is, I do. I do. This airport thing is aggravating as all get out. I don't like being treated like a terrorist. That aggravates me. It does. I almost got into it with one of those TSA workers the last time we were flying out of Mexico. That close. She said one more word, we'd have had it right there in front of God and everybody, and I'd wind up in jail. Yeah, I get angry. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the truth is I don't live an angry life. I'm not mad all the time. Bitterness. Wrath. Notice wrath and anger are together because wrath is that kind of, in the Bible, wrath is expression that refers to water about to boil. All you got to do is raise it a couple degrees and water boils, right? Well, that's a person who's walking around and there's always that wrath underneath there, right? It's just ready to go. And then when they lose it, boom, they just explode. Anger just simply means they're mad all the time. Everything makes them mad. Everything. How you doing? What do you want to know for? I go in the nursing home, used to go every week and do a service there. We do service every week in nursing homes here, but I used to go myself for 10 years by myself. And it's always interesting to see how some of them are so sweet. How are you today? I'm fine. Thank you for coming to see me. The next room, how are you today? What do you want to know for? Well, I just came by to say God bless you. Go, okay, you said it. Now what? Go tell them people out there I got to go to the bathroom. Just okay, don't hurt me. I'm going. Got all the way to 80 years old and mean as a snake. It's like, what? Because, look at me. Because there's some unforgiveness in people's lives. Listen to me carefully. If you will forgive like you should, first of all, decide you're going to. Secondly, give God's grace some process to get your mind valuing what's happened to you correctly so you can let it go, and then the grace of God will kick in. Believe me, you're talking about asking God, the great forgiver, to help you forgive. Who better? Who better than a master artist to teach you how to paint? Who better than a master mechanic to teach you how to work on a car? Huh? Who better than a marksman to teach you how to shoot? No, no. The truth of the matter is, who better than to go to the master of all forgiveness, the God of heaven, and ask him to give you grace to keep putting it away from you until you let it go. And then you know what happens? Free. You can let bitterness go, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking. You can let it go. Hey, folks, This thing about forgiveness, we think it's God rubbing the salt in our wound and asking us to forgive that person who did us wrong. Why doesn't he do something to that person? You're all twisted up on the inside, and that bitterness is just consuming you. The answer is you forgive, it frees you up. Now I'm free. Yeah, I get aggravated with things at times, but you know what? I don't live angry. I'm not mad all the time. I always have a chip on my shoulder. I'm not as argumentative about things. Ask my wife. We never argue. I say, yes, dear, and it's over. We had a big argument here a while back. And she came crawling back to me on her knees, saying, come out from under that bed and fight like a man, you coward. You know, the truth of the matter is, seriously, now, can I just be real pointed with you for a moment? Some of you folks, you know you've got some unforgiveness in you. You know why? Because you look like you got baptized in grapefruit juice. Bless your heart. You're holding on to something. God wants you to let go because it frees you, and then you can let it go. You understand? Number two, he wants us to forgive, and the why of forgiveness is because it prepares you. Look at verse number 32 now. He said, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted. You know what? Hey, God wants you to forgive, my friend, because it puts a kindness and a tenderheartedness in you where bitterness and callousness used to be. It prepares you. No, you won't walk around smiling and laughing all the time. That means you're ready for the rubber room or you need more medicine. But the truth is, it prepares you. It helps to put a kindness in you in a world that is just rude. There's some mean, stinking people out there who just go about their daily lives like they're the only one on the planet. And kindness is kind of lost along a lot of people nowadays. Have you noticed that? Have you watched people in their family dynamic when they're together as a family? Have you seen how people conduct themselves and treat one another? Hey, here's what happens. We get out there in that world, we rub elbows with that stuff, and after a while, our kindness is sapped up. It's gone. But being kind, you know what? It prepares your heart in life to actually have a peacefulness in your heart and a tender-heartedness in a calloused, indifferent world. Yeah, well, Pastor Johnson, good luck with you, pal. There's people out there going to just walk all over you. You're not going to have any kind of life. There'll be people out there who take advantage of you. Good luck with that. You'll be kind to people, and they'll just act like they don't even care. Happens all the time. Happens to me almost every day of my life, regularly, wherever I go and whatever I do. Almost inevitably. But that doesn't prevent me from trying to be kind to folks. And you know why? Because I got nothing. I'm holding on to somebody. See, forgiveness, the why of it is it prepares you in life to keep a tender heart. Oh, I constantly, God is having to use the scalpel of the Holy Spirit of God to keep the calluses off my heart. Because you work with people, you get an attitude after a while. You get a couple of knuckleheads you work with, and it's like everybody's a knucklehead. Everybody's not a knucklehead. There's a lot of them, but they're not all knuckleheads. You lose the tenderness and your heart toward things that are right and good. It's a preparation in life. And by the way, after a while, this rude, unkind world, you say, well, Pastor, people just cut in front of you in line. They do it all the time. The airport flying in and out, they just step in front of you like you're not even alive. You just want to drop your suitcase on their foot. They act like they're the only one on the planet. Them idiots out there with their telephone. I don't even know why they did. I was on the plane here a while back. This guy was sitting on his, talking on his phone. But he had one of the earpiece things with the little microphone that hangs down here. And he decided he had to talk loud enough so this guy could hear him, whoever he was talking to. And this is the way he talks. Seriously, I'm sitting right across the aisle from the plane. And you know what? When we get the, let's raise up the order on that, just like that. And I just sat there for a while and I thought, you got to be kidding me. And he kept going on and on and on, talking loud. Well, Mr. Sarcasm has an answer for that. I leaned over and I tapped him on his arm. I said, hey, pal. He goes, what? I go, you can hang up now. They can hear you. Wherever they are, they can hear you because we can all hear you too. And this cat looked at me and goes, huh? I said, you can hang up now. Everyone on the plane can hear you and everyone you're talking to can hear you, even if they're in another country. He just looked at me and went, and so when we change the order, okay, you mean you can find no kindness in your soul and no tenderness toward anything anymore? You're holding something. Hey, you're holding. Oh, maybe one of those people you are tender-hearted to the ones you want to be tender-hearted to. Because it gains you something, gets you something. You know, you're one of those master manipulators. Tender-hearted person is tender-hearted toward anybody. It's a preparation thing. God, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Then he uses the word forgiving. Now, that word forgiving not only means forgiving the one who's wronged you, it means you have the ability now to forgive. Because here's good news. If you ever wonder how much practice you'll need at forgiving, you'll get a lot of it. People will help you. And you ever found out that when you forgive one person, somebody else takes their place. And then you forget. But if forgiving here is a perpetuating thing. If you ever learn how to forgive and you let it go with that one person, you can let it go with anybody. Oh, by the way, and the greater the wrong done to you, the easier it becomes to forgive somebody else because what they did is nothing compared to what this other person did, and I let that go. You know what? It prepares you to be a forgiver for the rest of your life, and you'll need it. See, that just doesn't seem fair. Well, let's talk about God the Father for a moment this morning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what, church? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you today would say, now listen carefully, how many today would say you have only had to ask for God's forgiveness one time in your entire Christian life? Just once, would you raise your lying fat hand? Huh? You mean you asked him more than once and he forgave you more than once? Oh, and I shouldn't have to keep forgiving? When I expect to go to my God, hey, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, the end of the great model prayer, our Father which art in heaven, it's not the Lord's prayer, it's a model prayer. It ends with, if you won't forgive somebody else, God won't forgive you. You know why? Because the great forgiver forgives you for all kinds of stuff. You go to him and say, I'm sorry, Heavenly Father, forgive me, please. Given. I'm sorry, Heavenly Father, forgive me, please. Forgiven. And now you won't let it go with somebody else? And, hey, you won't even allow the practice of forgiveness to be developed. Well, sure. See, forgiving prepares you to be a forgiver, which keeps you free, which makes your life good. By the way, makes our life good too, by the way. You mean the forgiven one? No, the people have to live with the forgivers. Makes our life good. I feel sorry for some people who have to live with bitter souls. Always angry about something. Always doing something. I feel sorry for people like that. Truth is, ladies and gentlemen, forgiveness prepares you to keep forgiving people. Because it's like a It's like a habit. Once you develop it, you know how to do that. Okay, well, that's a buck's worth. Yeah. Give me help of the Lord to see that one as a buck's worth. Okay, that's a buck's worth. And you develop the practice of forgiveness. And lastly, we are to forgive. And the why of it is because it identifies you, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You'll never be as godly in your life as when you practice forgiveness. That's one of the great indicators of a godly life, a forgiver. You know why? Because God is the great forgiver. Identifies you with Him. Those dear people down there in Texas, they've already made the decision. Many of them have already made the decision to forgive, even though the guy's dead, to forgive the one who killed their family. Try that with Islam. There is no forgiveness in Islam. There's revenge. Someone hurts you, you kill them. Huh. Interesting. Why is it Christianity has that quality to it? Hey, it identifies you with the Heavenly Father and identifies you as a child of God. Because you're not willing to hold, you're not going to hold on to anything about anybody for any reason, for any time. I want to let it go. Back up in Ephesians 4, let not the sun go down on your wrath. That means nothing for 24 hours you're going to hold on to. Well, I hate him for 23 and a half hours, you know. No, you learn to let it go. Hey, you learn to let it go, and it identifies that God is your Heavenly Father, and you are a child of God. Amazing, isn't it? This world needs to see Jesus in you. And Jesus on the cross, suffering for our sins, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Never as godly as when you forgive. Never as close to Jesus as when you forgive. And never as much like a child of God as you'll ever be when you forgive, because it identifies you. Well, Pastor Johnson, I'd like to say I could do that, but that sounds good in church. But in real life, you mean real life the way the world is. You mean real life the way the world does things. You've been out there for too stinking long in the rat race. You've become one of the rats. Can you pillow your head tonight and just drift off to sweet sleep? Because you got nothing holding against anybody. Can you? Hey, can you? Down in your heart of hearts, is there any root of bitterness springing up that's begun to defile many? Have you got a temper that's just right under the surface ready to blow? Are you just mad about everything all the time anyhow? Just standing in the line of the grocery store makes you so mad you can't. Is that how your life is? You're holding something against somebody. One more thing I finished. And you think today you can hold it against this person but forgive them? It doesn't work like that. The one you won't forgive is the one who keeps you from forgiving the next one. You got to let that go. You got to let it go. God will give you grace if you value it the way you should. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.